It's good to be here. Couldn't get away from remembrance on a day like this, so I thought I just want us very simply this morning just to think about what does that mean to remember? Because a church who doesn't remember the past makes continually the same mistakes. A nation does as well. Is that true? You know, if you look at all the things our nation has going through at the moment, we've been there before. And you can't expect, if a nation turns its back on God, for it to go well. Can we? Let's just be honest. So what are the key lessons for us to learn as churches and individuals at this time? You know, what are those key things? And we need to show the nation how to remember. We need to show the nation how to remember with justice and mercy. We need to show the nation how to remember with the gospel of Christ. That's how important it actually is. And there's three very simple things that I want to bring to your attention. If you've got your scriptures, Joshua chapter 4. Scripture is full of places where God has said, remember. Most of the Jewish festivals were for Israel to remember. Why do we break bread? You were doing that last week, weren't you? We do it because we're told to. But it is fundamentally a remembering time. And I don't want to read through all, but if you look at Joshua 4 and the first kind of seven verses, they're going through the Jordan, and it's another miracle that this nation sees. How Israel saw all God's provision but seemed to forget most of it. Is that true? But are we any different in the church? I'm not sure we are. And Joshua says to the nation, the Lord says to the nation, take 12 stones from here, verse 3, out of the midst of the children, and then later the river. And then in verse 6, he says, when your children ask what that pile of stones is about, you tell them. We need to keep telling the story of salvation to our children. We need to keep telling the stories of salvation to each other. Why? Well, I'm from Suffolk, so that's maybe one thing against me. But I forget. Do you forget? And I need those God reminders. And then right at the end of verse 7, he says, so these stones shall be a memorial. These stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And actually, if you look through the Old Testament in Samuel, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and more in Joshua, you'll find God saying, put that pile of stones up. You know? Trouble is, we're very good at finding piles of stone that cost the earth these days, aren't we? Rather than just a few pebbles. And you need to remember, this was one of the things that God really challenged me on, so you need to remember what God has done. You need to remember what God has done in the good times and in the bad, and you need to give thanks, even though if you've had a kicking. Now, I've got three grandsons, Isaac, Reuben, Jacob. And the oldest, Isaac, rang me up a few months ago now. And he was doing a project on the First World War. And he said to me, Granddad, I always promised I would never let my grandchildren call me by that name. But the minute they started using it, I fell in love with it. So that's gone out the window. And he said, "Granddad, did we have anybody in our family die in the First World War?" Do you know, I felt really embarrassed to tell him, no, we didn't. He rang me when I was at work, and one of our ex-interns was sitting next to me at the time. And because my granddad had three children, my granddad on my mum's side had three children within 4 years of marriage, and then he died. And he died because his job was so physical, it killed him. He actually made boilers for steam trains. All right. And my other granddad died because of the same reasons. He died a lot later, but it felt like he was dead even when I knew him. They literally got worn out. So I said to Isaac, "I'm really sorry, mate, but we didn't have anybody." And I felt quite embarrassed by that, that I didn't know of anybody in our family. Anyway, this intern, he was listening to all this. And 3 days later, he came back to me, because when he left us, he's now a pastor in Belgium, but when he left us, he went and worked for the War Graves Commission. And he did some research, and we did have someone, this is all the research, that died in our family in the First World War. He was a young guy, I don't think he ever married. His name was George Robert Savory. Can't forget a name like that, can you? And in that research are the battle plans for the day where he died, his commemoration. His body was never found. So it's on one of the memorials, his name in Ypres. And me and my son are going out there next year to look, because we want to go and see. But what blew me away was that man grew up in exactly the same house as I did. And no one in our family knew he ever existed. It was all there. Wollaston Road in Lowestoft. That's where he'd grown up. Who do we need to look back and declare God's faithfulness over our lives? Over our churches, who do we need to look back and declare God's faithfulness? Because God's been faithful to you, has he not? You'd have to be pretty thick to figure out that he hadn't. Let's just be honest. Yeah? It needs to be that true. So, just as Israel did this with stones, what are the things you can do in your life and your church to declare God's faithfulness? Declare God's faithfulness. Let's jump into the Gospels. Let's just go to Luke 22. We've got where Jesus brings in the Lord's Supper, round about verse 19. I love communion. I still get excited by it because I grew up in a church that didn't celebrate communion. And for me, I used to sneak off to the Anglican church to do it because we were salvationists and we didn't do it for some crazy reason. And but Jesus says there, do this in remembrance of me, doesn't he? Verses 19 to 20. And he took the bread. And you see, this is an act of remembrance in thanksgiving. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you know, some people could call us quite religious now at Lighthouse. Do you know, we have break bread at least twice a week in various services, or midweek services. We only do it once a month in the big service, but we do it nearly every Sunday night in our smaller service, and we do it every Tuesday morning in our smaller service. And it seems to be becoming really precious, because you need to remember that the gospel is amazing. Is that true? Because all this rubbish can come at you, and the gospel is amazing. You know, well, for many, many years in Norwich, we ended up leading an ex-Brethren church. And if you grow up in these denominations, you all have your funny traits, don't you? You know? And they used to break bread every week, and I turned it to once a month. Well, you thought I'd spat on the dead. Do you know what I mean? It was such a big thing for them, but they loved communion. And we had an older lady in the church who was the only founder member of the church left, Auntie Jean. And I can remember going to see her to find out some of the things from the past of the church. And she said to me, well, we started in 1912, but we didn't get a table till 19. And I'm thinking, blimey, they were poor. But what she meant was, until they broke bread with each other, they weren't officially a church in Brethren terms. That's interesting, isn't it? And I started doing some things, mixing things up. We had a really crummy communion table. They're still using it in that church. It really was battered, and there was nothing ornate about it. Didn't have any holy words on it. But I figured this out, that when we were doing church in the community on a Sunday morning, if we took the table with us, we were doing church. So that table went in and out of so many cars and vans you couldn't imagine. And in fact, when we had a jazz march to our new building, which was in a school, at the head of the procession was that crummy old table. Because we were symbolizing the thanksgiving of God, but we were symbolizing we were going into a new place. Jesus says to you, Hope, what do you need to give thanks for? What do you need to remember? And you see, the thing was, after a year or two, we stopped taking the table with us everywhere we went, because they figured out that we were a church on mission. But some churches never figure that out. Are you a church on mission? I think you are. I came and spent some time praying around here a few weeks ago, and it wasn't an easy week in the life of the church. But when I got here on the Friday morning, there were plenty of you getting ready to serve the vulnerable. And I walked around this building thinking, this is a good church. This is a good church. So, what do you need to remember, like Joshua did with these stones? What do you need to do in coming to the table afresh and be filled with thanksgiving? Do you need to do that? Because sometimes life's rubbish, isn't it? You know, I shared with someone this. The last 3 years have been quite rubbish in our family. We've lost three key people, my mum and my dad, and my brother-in-law. And it's been quite difficult. And mum used to ring me up every day. Used to drive me nuts. Absolutely. But I'd love to get a phone call from her now. I wouldn't wish any of them back, because it was a struggle for them, and all of them were very ill and very frail. But I had to deal with one of the worst pastoral situations in the last week that I've ever had to deal with, and I just didn't know what to do. And my mum used to tell me off quite regularly, and I hope you're not offended by this, but I suddenly heard her voice saying, for God's sake, will you hold that woman's hand? So I did. And after we'd gone through what was really difficult, The one thing that spoke to this lady was I'd held her hand through it. Do this in remembrance of me. Because it's hard. And we need the reality in the church to face up to questions that are not easy. The difference is we don't go into a pity party. We feed on him with thanksgiving. Is that true? And then lastly, in Luke 23 again, it's the dying thief. And what does he say? If I can get it right. Two others who were criminals were led away and put to death with him. Goes into Luke 23 where he says that. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And then later on, verse 39, it talks about one of the criminals. And Jesus turned to this criminal and said, this criminal said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's disgusting, really. Didn't do an Alpha course. Didn't do a membership course. We don't think he was baptized. Good grief. But in his agony, he says, Jesus, remember me. And what's Jesus' response? Today. You're going to be with me in paradise. Where do we need to extend that hand of love and acceptance? Who needs salvation? I love it in the season that we're in, that people just seem to turn up asking those questions before you even have to try and put them in your mind. I love it. You know, I think we've had nearly 30 baptisms this year. And predominantly, they've been people under 25. And predominantly, they've been people who we've not reached out to. They've come looking. Jesus, remember me. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. I want to say that more and more in the rest of my life. Today, you're part of the family of God. Do you? So as we bring this home, what do you need to remember? Who do you need to remember? Who do you need to feast on in your memories with thanksgiving? Who do you need to, even the, you know, in Youth for Christ, I was an old Youth for Christ worker. The first time I ever came in here was a prayer walk around about 1988. And we walked all around East Anglia, and we did a prayer celebration here one night. I remember it as clear as anything. That was the first time I'd ever been here. I think it was late 80s. You know? But I know in all that time, we go through tough times, don't we? In Youth for Christ, we had a very unspiritual phrase. We used to call it crap and kingdom. And do you know the two go together? Because sometimes it is just rubbish. But I know a Saviour. And his name is Jesus. And he stands with me in the desolate times. And he walks through the pain. Does he not? He walks through the pain. That's been quite a hard time for us as a family. What do you need to remember? But just as we come to the worship now, and if the band can come up, I just want to say to this, who's been faithful to you that you haven't said thank you? Who's been faithful to you? When my mum died, my dad, for the 2 years he had with us on his own, he suddenly started calling mum his black-eyed beauty. And We then found out there'd been loads of stuff in the family why my mum and dad nearly didn't get married, because my nan was pregnant when she got married, and that would have had effect on the rest of the relationship, because she was the product of that. Where do we get this rubbish from? You know? And I think that was a struggle for him, but he called her his black-eyed beauty. And I found a photo of my mum that I hadn't seen for many, many years. And two of these interns that we had nicked it. And on my first day back to work, they were waiting for me by the doors at Lighthouse. And someone in our church is very good at portraits. And they'd taken over that portrait and done that for me. That's my mum when she was just before she got married. And you know, 2 years later, those interns all moved away. 2 years later, when I looked up at my dad's funeral, there they were standing there. Who do we need to thank? I got a message last night to say one of the pastors who was a huge influence in my life, his wife is dying. So I'm off to Felixstowe on Tuesday morning just to spend some time with her to say thank you. Who do you need to say thank you to? Who's been faithful to you in this church that you need to say thank you to? Do you know, God loves his church. Cherish it. And you can cherish it by being thankful for it. I think you're a pretty amazing group of people. Celebrate that. Who are the friends you need to thank at this time? Who are the leaders you need to thank at this time that are holding the reins for you? Don't let them do it without someone going, "You're doing a good job." You'd never believe it. When I was a kid, I messed up quite a bit, you know. But I had this amazing nan who had very little in her life. But every time I screwed up and the rest of the family were going, "Oh, Savory, you've done it wrong again," she used to just stand there and go, "Just you wait and see. Just you wait and see." You need to be that for your leaders at this time. Celebrate their faithfulness and all they're trying to do. It blessed me when I popped in that Friday morning, because there you were serving. And they were queuing up at 9 o'clock. They were queuing up before a lot of people were here, weren't they? There's so much in our world and our culture and our nation that can pull us down. But we need to remember with tears, but with our hearts towards thanksgiving. Is that true? So I challenge you here in your church, in your family, in your past, is there a leader, a teacher, you know, that you actually need to find out where they are and say, "Thank you." Because people don't do that.